I love the group Alabama, and I particularly love it because they think there's angels around them. You say, well, that's not so. I wouldn't say that. It's interesting today that we have a lot less people, and so I don't know if some don't want to deal with angels or whatever, but those of you who came, we will try to overcome. We have words like angelology. That's something to do with angels. I have one up on you because I married one. I must tell you, this is going to last for a good while. Everybody understand that? We're not going to be here for this week and next week and we're done. This is big stuff, and you're going to have a copy of this material that you can take home with you, which you need to bring back with you every week if you want to keep in line with whatever's going on. This is very unpreachy because, you know, when you're preaching on various things like Melchizedek or, you know, something like that, it's a whole different thing. But when you start talking about angels, there are things we just need to remember. Now, because you have in your hand the same stuff I have in my hand, you're going to say, well, I could have just read that. Well, help yourself. Angelology is perhaps one of the most intriguing studies a believer can do. It's connected to the supernatural. If you don't believe in the realm of the supernatural, this study won't do a thing for you. I'm going to tell you what. God has done all over the world things that we have never seen. God has done powerful things over the years in this country, in countries all over the world, places we may have never seen. And He's worked among the human family through that whole time. One reason about the study that we're doing is in the Middle Ages, angelology fell into a subject of disrepute. This is a bunch of junk. That's what they were saying and thinking. It's like having Halloween, you know, to some people. Some people really think when you get on Halloween night, when you put on all that crazy stuff you put on, you go around trick-or-treating people, you know, and all that. That's just a joke. That's just a cultural thing. That has nothing to do with the supernatural. But when you're dealing with supernatural, you're dealing with something way bigger than that. One reason is that in the Middle Ages, angelology fell into the subject of disrepute. Scholarship of the day reduced the study of angelology to a debate over how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Now, if anybody needed to be slapped, that should be somebody. Because of this argument, many people push the matter of angels out of their mind. Nothing real about it. But it's not so. Ridiculous arguments pushed people until they just put it out of their mind. In the Middle Ages, there was an attempt on part of some of the scholars to build a case for physical functioning angel. That's kind of like saying, let's build us some angels. We're going to find out in this study that there's quite a lot of stuff that was done through angels, and they are important things. So, unbelief was a cause of a lack of study. I don't believe I'll get bit on my leg today while we're here. But is it possible in another environment that I could get bit on that leg? Many of them associated angels in those days for something like Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, goblins. How many angels do you think there are? You check various ideas of angels and look at your own concept, and what do you understand about them? What do they look like? How many of them are there? Because we have disregarded the subject, we have not typically searched the scriptures. Too many, the issue or subject of angels seems irrelevant. Therefore, the pursuit of knowledge is just limited. If I don't believe that stuff. So here's the reason for this study. Basically, the Bible teaches about angels, yes or no. There are angels among us. Angels are mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament and 186 times in the New Testament. And when you get all of those compiled together, that's a lot of angel sightings. Angels are seen through all of the history of the angels. Angels are victorious in God's church. There are angels around us. Now, do angels fly? Well, yeah, I saw one the other day flying. I don't know what an angel looks like. Angelic activity of the past is recorded in both testaments, and their future service is prophetically revealed. Angels have a great deal to do with the end of the world. They're going to be there when God says, this is done. Now, I don't know if God's going to be another week or another lifetime. Angels will have a great deal to do with the end of the world and the end of time and into judgment. Are you in belief that there will be an end of time? Did we create the end of time? Did we create time? No. Did we create the end of time? Well, that's still out yet to come, yes? So basically, you are counting on something that you cannot see and you have not seen. And these things are going to be there until God says, this is the end. And the angels are going to be in that. They will help Jesus in that day to separate the good and the bad. I think that's pretty awesome too. Do you know that Jesus believed in angels and taught us the issue of doing the work with Him? This is big stuff. How do you take something so large and squash it up and say, oh, we could have got that, you know, in one shot? No, you can't. To deny the existence of angels makes Jesus a liar. Would you say that? If you say, no, there's not angels. Are the angels in the Revelation, are they telling us about angels? To deny this is wrong. Hebrews 1:14, the witness of the Old Testament to the books of law, the word angel appears 32 times. That's in the book of Hebrews. In Genesis 16:21, Hagar, comforted by the angel of Jehovah. Now that's opening a whole new system if you don't know. There's angels and then there's special angels. This angel of Jehovah, who is Jehovah? God. And the angels are hanging out with whom? God and the angels, as we'll find over time, will come into situations that we may never see happening, but they can change things because God orders it, and they can do that. In Genesis 18 and 19, Abraham talked to and ate with angels. Can you get it around your mind of what God gave us when He gave stuff to Abraham and Hagar and different ones? In Genesis 28:12, Jacob dreamed of angels ascending and descending on a ladder from heaven. Could God put a ladder down from heaven if He chose to? Not only could He did. In Genesis 32:24-28, Jacob wrestled with the angel and was crippled. He didn't have a good day. That angel must have been, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know that if he was out of line or what. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. Would you say that's true? We can't stand up here like some philosopher and say, oh, I know all there is to know about angels. In Genesis 32:24-28, Jacob wrestled with the angel and was crippled. Something Jacob did that was out of line, and this angel come back and put him straight. In Exodus 14:19-30, Moses was called by the angel of Jehovah to deliver Israel from Egypt. You and I could go out the end of the road today and somebody smash into us. That could happen. It happens all the time, doesn't it? Places. You had these kind of smash-ups in the Old Testament when things got a little out of kelter and people got in the way. Moses was called by the angel of Jehovah to deliver them from Egypt. Now, there's the angel. The angel is a powerful, powerful force. But when you kick in the angel of Jehovah, when you say Jehovah, who is that? God says, I'm bringing in the big boy on this one. But we're going to straighten Egypt up. In Exodus 14:23, the angel led them through the wilderness. How many times when you read in the Old Testament do you hear about the wilderness? Now the problem is with churchendom being, I went to church and, you know, we did what we're supposed to. I worshiped and we went home. Let me help you with this. First of all, you can't go to church. That is a physical impossibility. You cannot go to church. Why? You are the church. In Numbers 20:16 and also 20:22, God dealt with Israel and the false prophet Balaam. Remember Balaam? Balaam was a constant crazy part of thinking that they run the world, when it was God doing it. In Numbers 20, God dealt with Israel and Balaam. And then never in the Mosaic writings were the angels considered illusions. They were never illusions. Oh, you know, we saw this. We saw him going, you know, across the room. That's never that. Men recognized the reality of the being they contacted most, and often recognizing them as messengers of God. How would you like to have God to send you a message by one of His angels? I'm going to tell you what, I'd be shaken. One angel could destroy this whole city. It was done by various cities through angels. You don't have a chance if you're trying to beat God. You can't do it. The book of history, the word angel appears 37 times. The books of history are like Joshua, Judges, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. All those old books we don't like to go read. Oh, I'm a New Testament Christian. You know what? You can't have the New Testament unless you got the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is about the whole of God's workings in the world. And you hang with that. This, what we're doing, is going to be didactic. It's a learning thing. But you got to remember, you're dealing with angels. We're dealing with situations we have absolutely no ability to change. If the angel comes in and says so and so, you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't know what an angel does to slap you, but it's probably going to come some way. This is in God's realm. This is not like some of the stuff that we've done in other settings. Angels intervened in the record of Daniel to deliver the Hebrew children from their fiery furnace. You remember the fiery furnace? That was God's people being thrown in a fiery furnace. What happened to that? You remember? Nobody went and got a water hose like we would do. The angels came and they put it out. They took away the problem. In Daniel 9, 20 and 27, Gabriel, who later appeared in Luke 1, appears first to Daniel and then with the revelation of the future of Israel. How does this man know about the future of Israel? Now, he didn't say whether it was good future or bad future. He just said it talks about the future. Michael, the archangel, this is the big boy, in Jude 6, is identified as one of the chief princes. In Daniel 10:13, it stands as Israel's principal defender against men and other angelic beings. And you would notice right here, there are other angelic beings. Hosea, in Hosea 12:2-4, Hosea identified the man who wrestled with Jacob. In Genesis 32, when they found out who it was that wrestled with Jacob, it ends up being, guess what? An angel. I'm going to tell you, those angels, it's so dumbed down. It's like a sweet little angel. You know, it's just a sweet little angel. Can God put a sweet little angel on you if He wants it to be there? Could He do that? Could God keep one from being there if He chose? But that's not the way God works. He works in helping, defending, and creating. Do you know that God had angels doing reconnaissance? Zechariah had a vision. Guess who would bring that? Angels. They were agents of God's activity and God's judgment. The Psalms, of all places, the Psalms pictures angels as protecting and delivering God's people from harm. I'm going to tell you, if you mess with an angel, you're going to come out on the bad end of that. These are powerful creatures who are all under God's realm. And they can just be over here and doing their little angel stuff over here, and over here do their angel stuff over here, and some kind of thing come up, and boy, they would go just like this. And it doesn't take them very long to get from one side of the world to the other either. Psalm 34:7. These are God's people in these texts right here that are being pictured in the Psalms as protecting God's people from harm. You got that in Psalm 34:7. You got it Psalm 35:5-6, Psalm 91:11, and they're God's energetic and fervent servants. They're not laying around waiting, you know, eating apples on a cloud. They're working. They're doing. If angels are doing all of this activity, here's what I want you to see. If they're having all of this activity that they've had all of these millennia, does it make sense that God would stop doing it now? What do you think? No. Now, what we can't do is we can't push things in the text and call that what God ordained. It's not so. God knows how to get His angels where He wants them to be. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to stand up in front of you and tell you I know all there is about angels. I can tell you I have studied some of this stuff more than one time. Over time. But I know this. I have a God who is on my side. If God is on your side, please stand up. Now, you're the ones being protected by the angels. But you've got angels around you, watching you, taking care of you, making sure things go right. That's how God has changed this world to any kind of thing that comes out somebody's mouth. That's whatever they utter in their language. God is in the middle of that. And I'm going to be not in the middle of it. I'm going to get to have the promise of it. And you're going to get to have all of that too. We got some good stuff to study. This is difficult stuff. You got the idea that this is difficult study yet? You can't pass three things till it just repeats itself in a different direction. That's a little bit difficult. But we're going to make it through this thing. What do you think? Let's have a song.